Morning. Y'all look better from up here. I can see y'all at one time. I don't know, maybe I'm unteachable. I don't have a tie on, so. I like what our brother said about the promise of the weather. You know, I don't know, can you believe a weatherman? They change the forecast constantly. It's because they can't predict the unpredictable. But God can. God gives us promises in His Word. And how many have had promises from God and have seen them fulfilled? Amen? But how many have had a promise? You've seen a promise in God's Word, but it never really did come to pass. And you wonder, what happened? Did I miss it? As we go through the study today, what I'm hoping and praying and believing will happen, this thing's really sticking out. I'm going to run into this. There, that's better. I'm hoping and praying and believing that each one of us will understand God in a better way. That through His Word and through seeking Him, His promises will become a living manifestation in our lives. Does that mean that every time something happens, we pray, God, this needs to happen in my life, it's going to happen? Not always. Because it's not always on our time. It's on God's time. Maybe He's trying to develop patience in us. Amen. So let's look at our main text. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 13, Jesus asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" What we need to understand here is what's happening as Jesus is asking the question. And the only way to really see it all is to look into Luke's account. And you don't need to turn there. But in Luke's account, Luke says this. He records this. Luke 9:18, it's the same passage of Scripture. It says, "And it happened as He was alone praying." So Jesus is alone praying, and along come His disciples, and they join Him. So to get this in context, we have to understand that the disciples actually join Jesus in prayer. It'll help bring understanding to what's going to happen here. So they're praying, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Okay, guys, who do the people say I am?" Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus gets a little bit more pointed and He says, "Who do you say I am?" Who else pipes up but Peter? Good old Peter. He's always up front, wanting to be out front, to be noticed. What does he say? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail." Now, to understand what he's saying in context here, I want to read it from the Amplified Version. It gives us a little bit more illumination. Amplified, anyone read from the Amplified at all? It's good to study and look at different versions of the Bible, because you get a little better picture. And again, if you're studying in any of the Gospels, it's always good to see if there's another Gospel, whether Mark or Luke is recording or saying the same story, and kind of get the whole thing in context. Just a point. It'll help you study and see the Scriptures in a better way. So in the Amplified Version, it says this, in verse 17, "Then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, men,'" this hasn't been revealed to you by men, "'have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter.'" The Greek word there is Petros. It means a large piece of rock. "And on this rock," now the rock he's using here is likened to the rock of Gibraltar. It's a huge, massive rock. And when we see through Scripture, especially in the New Testament, the rock is always referring to, or many times refers to, Christ. Christ is the rock. He is the solid rock on which we stand. Amen? He is our foundation. But what I want to point out here is this. When we see the word revealed, Peter seen him in the flesh, but didn't really know that this was Christ, the anointed one, until the Father revealed it to him. And it was because they were in prayer. And Peter's probably wondering, you know, I've read the Old Testament, and it sounds like this is a Messiah, but I'm not really sure. And as he's praying, I can just see it. All of a sudden, the Father speaks to him and says, it's my Son. This is Christ. This is the anointed one. And boom, it's revealed to him. Now, the word reveal or revelation, in the Greek language, it literally means this: a drawing away by Christ, an uncovering, a drawing away by Christ of the veil of darkness covering the unbeliever's spiritual eyes. So there's a veil over our eyes until we come to know who Christ is. We accept Christ, his sacrifice, his death and resurrection, his shed blood. We repent of our sins, and we call upon him in faith. We receive his grace because we are saved. How? By grace through faith. Amen? So the veil is removed. So once that veil is removed, can we see Christ fully who he is? We can, but do we? That's the question. Because as we see in Scripture, and as we walk through, it is a progressive revelation. The more we seek him, the more we dig into his word, the more of him is revealed to us. That's the truth. Can anyone in this room say that I know Christ without any reservations? I know him fully, completely, and utterly? No. Because the Bible teaches us that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that having this confidence that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it in the day of Christ. In other words, until we go to be with the Lord, whether he comes, we're raptured, or we go on to be with the Lord through physical death, we're continuously being conformed. We're continuously seeking him. It's a progression. But how much of Christ we know is really up to us. One of the old saints said this. This was J. Oswald Sanders. Has anyone heard of J. Oswald Sanders? He made this statement, and it's so true. Listen to this. We are now and will be in the future only as intimate with God as we really choose to be. The question is, are we really hungry for God? Do we truly want to know who he is? See, we were created to know God, to have intimacy with him, have fellowship with him. Our task is to share that salvation, that saving grace with others. Not simply so they can be saved from hell, but that they can actually come into a relationship with God as well. It's not just about being saved from hell and going to heaven. It's about knowing him. It's about knowing him. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Please turn there with me if you have your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read a verse here that'll help us understand the Gospels. When we look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John's is a little different. He just digs in a little deeper. He has different revelation than the other disciples or the other Gospels writers. But what we see is a chronological order of the life and events of Jesus, his ministry, his teaching, and his teaching is profound. It's spiritual, and it's necessary for every one of us. Yet, it really doesn't detail what actually happened on that cross. It's the epistles, the letters from the book of Acts, after the book of Acts, from Romans to Jude, and even into Revelation to some degree. But it's through these epistles that we get to understand what really happened on the cross and what it means for us as believers. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I believe that God will remove that veil and you will see Christ and experience his presence, his saving grace, his love, his mercy. In the book of Colossians, it says this, real quickly, in verse 25. This is Paul writing, "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." A stewardship or a dispensation. It's when a certain truths are revealed in a certain time frame. They were never revealed to the Old Testament saints as they are to us today. Verse 26, he says this, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory." Wow. I mean, if we could really get a full revelation or understanding, our eyes were completely open to what that really means, I'm telling you, it would literally transform each one of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The God who came down, who clothed himself with humanity, lived a sinless life for us, took our sins on that cross, forsook his own will. Remember in the garden what he said? "Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." If it was up to Jesus at that point, he was, okay, no, I don't want to die. But he did to fulfill the Father's will. That same Jesus, he's living in us, his spirit, the fullness of God. And it's like the parable, it reminds me of the parable of the sower of the seed. The word, it's the word, it's living here. We know that through John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 goes on and says that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth." Christ living in us by his Spirit. Wow. I mean, that should just bring great joy to us. Listen to what Paul goes on to say here, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified in verse 27. "To whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within you, among you, in the hope of realizing the glory." Verse 28, "Him we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone, and instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, and perfect in Christ, the Anointed One." That we may present. But remember, how much of God we know is not up to God. God's no respecter of persons. He's not going to say, "Well, this one I'm going to give greater knowledge of who I am." He's going to reveal himself to whoever's hungry for him. Amen? That's the God of the Bible. Now, we talked about how we're saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of our own works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God." So we'll just look at grace and how we receive grace. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, you can turn there or you can listen. Peter writes these words. He says, "Therefore, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace of God that is to be brought to you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see it? We receive grace, his grace, that gift, through a revelation. It's through a revelation. We may not experience in a very real and tangible way when we, let's face it, when we are all born again, did anyone have a really radical conversion? Or was it just kind of, you know, everyone's different. I know my wife and I, we had, it was pretty radical conversion. We were living pretty radical lives for our flesh. So it was a very radical experience. But there is a revealing to our inner man. How many know that we are not just flesh? We're like God. We're triune. We are what? Spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, and spirit. Spirit. Our spirit man is to be strong. You are to build up your innermost faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray strong. Keep your inner man strong. The only way your inner man is going to get fed is through the Word of God. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and at the end of it, Luke's account says, then the devil really came to bring the temptations. He said, if you are the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread. And what did he reply? He quoted from Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that the entire Bible is inspired of God. God breathed. Amen? So this is God's word to us. It's his will. It's his will. So, you look at Simeon. How many remember Simeon, Luke's account of Jesus' birth? He was a priest. He was very old. He was a man of prayer. He knew the Old Testament, as many all the priests had to know it. But what's really interesting is when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, he was what, I think 40 days old or something? I think 40 days old. When they brought the baby in, it's the Messiah! He recognized it was Jesus. Why? Because he was in prayer. He was seeking God. And God told him, I'm going to reveal the salvation of Israel before you pass away, Simeon, and come up to be with me. And he did. Fast forward 30 years, and here Jesus, the whole region is in an uproar because of this Jesus who is doing all these miracles, signs and wonders, and this phenomenal teaching, astounding teaching. He's walking with such great authority. And here's the Pharisees. They can quote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jesus is in the midst of them. They can't even recognize that it's Jesus, that it's the Messiah, the Anointed One. They knew the Word, but they didn't know God. So you see that we have to have the two together. The will and ways and purposes of God are revealed to us through his Word. How they become real and living and manifest in us and through us is by seeking him and praying. Getting back to what Peter was writing about grace at the revelation, if you go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, listen to this one. Peter says this, he pens these words, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, hang on. I mean, it's one thing for something to be added to us. It's another thing when it's multiplied to us. 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 1 is 4. 4 plus 1 is 5. It takes longer to get a lot. When you multiply, 1 times 1 is... What's 1 times 1? You get the hint. You get the story. We're multiplied. It's multiplied to us. But what's important here is to understand what the word knowledge means. The word knowledge is the Greek word epinosis. It means to have a full, exact knowledge of God. There is a seeking after God in the sense of, I want to know who you are. Not only just reading the scriptures, but seeking the God who breathed these words into existence for us, so that we might know the heart and mind of God. Amen? Now, Paul, how many know that Paul was in prison quite a bit? Much of Paul's writings were done in prison. And there's numerous of the epistles that he wrote, it's what many theologians refer to as Paul's prison prayers. I want to look at a few of them, okay? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I believe it's in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm using the New King James Version, so I can't tell you what page it's on. Sorry. If you're not there, you can just listen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's God's will and desire to give us understanding. It really is. It always has been. It always will be. But do we have the same desire? God wants us to know him more than we want to know God. He's passionate for us to draw close to him. Next week when we talk, I'm going to share from Exodus and Moses, the life of Moses, using Moses as an example. Because when you look and read those passages of Scripture from Exodus, and since I was a Bible school teacher, I'm going to ask you to do some homework if you want. It's open. You can read Exodus chapter 19 and 20, so you kind of have a picture of where we're going. And okay, I'm getting back to the prayer here. Sorry. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen? Paul's praying that their eyes, they need to know God. If you study the life of Paul, he spent a lot of time in the wilderness, alone, set apart, sanctified, seeking God. Where do you think he got all this revelation? Out of, I believe, 22 epistles he wrote? 13? Some maybe believe 14? The book of Hebrews, possibly? I don't know. That's a minor. We don't want to get stumbling over minors. Let's major on the majors and we won't get ourselves in trouble. Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians. Look at prayer there. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Wow. That you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. He's saying that we steadily grow and increase in fruitfulness for God and understand the will of God as we know God more. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. Can everybody see that? Everybody see that? This is the Amplified. It does kind of expound on the words. The Bible was written, the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Greek language is very colorful. The reason we see so many different translations is because one Greek word usually takes about three or four good English words to bring it to light, to bring understanding to that one Greek word. It really does. It takes a lot, doesn't it, brother? But when one studies in the Greek language and sees the depth of God's word, or if someone like myself or someone else comes and teaches it, it does bring illumination. I pray that today, no glory to me whatsoever. It's all for God's glory. I have 5 minutes left. My wife is my 5-minute warning. So, you distracted me. No. Okay. We can see that clearly, that it is God's will that each one of us would know him in a deeper way, that our eyes would be open, our spiritual eyes would be open to the truth. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible talks about how when the veil is removed, our eyes are open, and the reading of the Old Testament, it's illuminated to us. But without Christ, we don't understand. And that's why the Pharisees had no idea who this Lord Jesus was, But we today have the fullness of the Word of God. And I encourage each one of us to dig into this Word, to go deep into this Word, because this is the will of God. A very wise man said this. He said, it is the spoken Word of God that will cause the written Word of God to become alive and active and powerful in each one of our lives. That's sweet. How many want to know God in a deeper way? How many are really hungry for God? Let's just think about that. You know, this relationship that we have with God, Almighty God, the God who created all things, chose us. And now he's wooing us. He's saying, come closer. Draw closer to my heart. Draw closer to me. I want to have relationship. I want to have fellowship with you. You know, the great apostle Paul said this in Philippians. He said, the one thing I desire is that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. Not that I've already attained or laid hold of that which Christ has already laid hold of me, but I press on. Let me just say this before we get into our last worship song here. There is a pressing, because our flesh, it's resisting. Our spirit man is longing. Which are we going to give into? Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, if we live in the Spirit, that's our position in Christ, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's walk out the life God has for us. Then we can experience greater peace, greater joy, greater faith. And it's not until we have that encounter with God as a God of all peace, the God of all joy, that we're really going to manifest that or live that and experience it. Amen? Worship team, why don't you come along? We're going to